Good evening, everyone. Very good to see you today. You don't usually see me here because I usually attend the Sunday services, but today, because of changes with my work schedule, I'm here. So I'm excited to be with you, to join you today, and we get to sing together in corporate worship, and we can lift our voices together to our God, and we get to listen to His word, we get to minister to one another. So stand with me, please. And I'm going to just quickly read from Revelation 5, verse 13. The Apostle John says, "Then I heard the voice of everything created in heaven upon earth, under the earth and upon the sea, and all that are in them, saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And I just look at that as a image of heaven. And I think today, even though we are here in a small group compared to what will be in the future, we get to practice that, we get to rehearse that, and let's do that together.
Stronger, God, you are higher. could stand against. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? There is no one, then what could stand
to sing a new song. At least it's new to our to Subi. And it looks towards heaven as our forever home in the future. So this is Hymn of Heaven. If you know this song, please sing with us.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. Of faith, sang to doubt and fear. In the end, we see that it was worth it. And he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day, there will be a day when all will bow before him. When death will be no more, standing face to face with he who's died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. On that day, join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith, and with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day, and on that day, we join the resurrection, stand beside the heroes of the generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. So let it be today, we shout the hymn of heaven. Mighty Lord, oh, to our God, who gave us glory beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord, so let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven, the angels and the saints, we raise a mighty
can combine together with the multitudes of people worshiping you. Lord, we thank you and we look towards that day. We pray that you will help us today to live for you. Even as we are still on earth, we pray
that our eyes will be set on you and we will not stray from that, Lord. And we pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before you take a seat, please turn to someone next to you and say hi.
Hello, everyone. It's great to see you all. Welcome back to church. Thank you also to the worship team who led us in a time of singing. My name is Kanaina, and I serve on the ministry team here at Subi Church. It's now time for Scripture at Subi. If you're not familiar with what that is, it's an opportunity for us as a church family to memorize Bible scripture together. And why do we do that? It's because we believe that the Bible is God's word to us. It strengthens us and it sustains us. So we want to be in the Word together. Every month we learn a new verse. And as you know, this year we'll be spending some time in the book of Psalms. Our new verse for February is from Psalm chapter 3, which we know is written by David as he was on the run for his life. And in this chapter, David recognizes what he's up against. He has danger and enemies on every side. And he calls out to God, his deliverer. So we encourage you to read through the whole chapter. It's not very long, it's only 8 verses long. And we can pray the words of these verses as well and call out to our God who delivers us from our sin and bondage. So you'll find little blue cards that look like this on your seats, and you're welcome to take these home with you. Let's read this verse together. Psalm chapter 3, verse 3. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. Wonderful. So I pray that this brings us all encouragement in the Lord this month. Children, thank you for joining us for Scripture at Subi. You can now head off to your Subi Kids classes. Another card that you'll be familiar with is our Connect card, and you'll see some around you. I'll be talking through some upcoming events today in a little while, so please use these to RSVP. If you're new to Subi Church or if you're visiting, we'd love for you to fill one in as well, just so we can get to know you. We also do offering at Subi Church. There's an offering box just in the back of the auditorium that you can use, or you can do an online giving. It's a way for us to worship God with our finances and to be involved in kingdom work. So let's take a moment to pray for our offering. Our loving Father, we worship and praise you, our God who has delivered us from sin and bondage. We thank you for your Son Jesus, our Savior, through whom we are free. As we give, Lord, we ask that these funds would be put to use wisely for your kingdom, that many would hear the name of Jesus, believe and be saved, that we might be able to care for others in need, and that your church might be encouraged in their faith and knowledge of you. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have some upcoming events. February is turning out to be quite a busy month, so starting with a small group leaders training that will take us through an overview of the book of John. Grant Taylor, who is a New Testament lecturer at Trinity Theological College, will be giving us this overview, and he'll be helping us to think through the key elements of the book to help small group leaders lead Bible studies on the book of John. So as you might already know, we'll be going through a new sermon series on the book of John over the next couple of weeks, so this will be helpful to all of us. And you don't have to be a small group leader to attend this. Everyone is welcome to the training. So this is happening this coming Tuesday, 6th of Feb, starting from 7 p.m. to 8:45. And we'll need to know some numbers as well, so please RSVP on your Connect card. Next, we have Subi Youth starting up again for the school term. Subi Youth is our Friday night ministry for high schoolers, led by Carson. And it's a great time for our teenagers to dive deeper into God's word and to develop friendships with Christians their age. So term one starts this Friday, the 9th of Feb, and we'll be running through the school term. It goes from 7 p.m. to 9:15 p.m. Next, we have our monthly outreach community coffee morning. That's happening this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and it'll be in the church cafe. And there's always such a great turnout to these, and it's often loud and bustling out there in the cafe, so you're most welcome to come by and join in on that. Next, we'll be running our next membership class on the 11th of Feb. If you're interested in knowing the distinctives of Subi Church and what it means to be a member of the church, you'll want to attend this event. It'll be after the Sunday 10:45 service next week from 12:30 to 2 p.m. And lunch will be provided for this, so to help us with numbers, we ask that you RSVP on your Connect card. 2 weekends from now, we'll be running our Vision Weekend, so that's on the 17th and 18th of Feb. That weekend, we'll be presenting a vision for Subi Church for the year 2024. We'll be running some special services over those few days, and they'll be followed by a Q&A session with Pastor David after each service. So that's 2 weekends from now. And lastly, we have our EGM coming up tomorrow. This is an extraordinary general meeting, which will be held right here in the church auditorium straight after the 10:45 a.m. service. So if you're a member of this church, you're invited to attend this tomorrow. As requested by our members, a number of important items will be discussed, and there are copies of the EGM agenda at the back of the auditorium in the cubby hole. So please make sure you pick up a copy of that on your way out. So that's all the announcements for today. Let's now come to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts to hear from God's word. Please join me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful God that you are. You're the one who created our vast and wonderful universe, the one who placed the stars in the sky, the one who knitted us in our mother's womb. You are Lord of all, King of kings, and you alone are worthy of our praise. As the psalmist says, you are our shield and our deliverer, the one who has saved us from our sins. Thank you that our salvation does not depend on what we have done ourselves. We could never earn it through any effort of our own. But our salvation depends on what you promised and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. Lord, we confess that we haven't always lived according to this new life to which we've been called. We haven't obeyed or loved you as we should. Our hearts, our time, and priorities haven't always put you first. So we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. Please help us by your Spirit that you would continue to transform us each day. Father God, thank you for all the church ministries that are starting up this month. We pray that you would continue to bless and use them to build your kingdom. Thank you for everyone who so faithfully serves as part of the body of Christ. Thank you for their heart for you and this church. We pray that they would be refreshed and renewed as they serve this coming year. Lord, we also bring before you the EGM this weekend. We ask that your Spirit to be present with us and that there would be good, open conversation. We pray that this time together would be honoring and pleasing to you. We commit to you each agenda item that will be discussed, that, Lord, you would bring us understanding and clarity and shed your light on decisions that have been made over the past year. Please help our elders to lead well with accountability and transparency, and please help them to provide shepherding care to each person who is part of your precious flock. We pray for unity as your body of Christ. Father, we commit our new sermon series on the book of John to you as we delve into the gospel. Please be with Pastor David as he preaches, that he would teach faithfully and clearly. Help us to be without any distractions that would compete for our attention and prepare our hearts and ears ready to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. My name is Corey. Our scripture reading today is taken from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. If you are able, I invite you to stand with me as we read from God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made, that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." You may now take a seat.
Thanks, Corey. G'day, church. It's great to be with you. A special warm welcome to those of you who are visiting. Great to have you with us. And to those watching online, wherever you're watching from, so glad you could join us. My name's David, one of the staff members here at the church. And just on behalf of the church, just want to say great to have you. And if you are looking for a church home, we'd love you to consider making Subi Church your church home. Now, in 2018, in Thailand, 12 members of a junior soccer team and their age between about 11 and 16 and their 25-year-old assistant coach, after training one afternoon, decided to explore a cave. Now, outside the cave, there was a sign. It advised, "Do not enter the cave during the rainy season because the cave floods." Now, the rainy season was from July to November, and on this day, it was June the 23rd. So the boys thought, we'll be fine. Soon after they entered the cave, there was a monsoonal downpour, heavy, heavy rain, and the cave was flooded. And the boys were trapped some 4 kilometres, slide please, some 4 kilometres deep in the cave, right? 1 kilometre below the surface, and the water prevented them from getting out. Now, later that evening, the head coach looked at his phone and he saw that he had 20 missed calls from parents wondering where their kids were. They hadn't come back from soccer practice, and so the head coach rings the assistant coach, can't get hold of him. The head coach rings some of the boys in the team, can't get hold of them. He finally gets hold of one of the boys, 13-year-old boy, who says, "Look, I was with the boys after training, but then we went our separate ways and they started to explore a cave." So the head coach races down to the entrance of the cave, and there are abandoned bikes, there are abandoned bags, water in the cave, and the coach tells the authorities. And the rescue mission begins. And as you know, it expands into a massive international rescue involving international rescue teams, including a team from Australia. And the rescue gained worldwide attention. We all heard about it here in Australia. I was glued to the news. Were anyone else glued to the news during this story? What's going to happen to the boys? And efforts to locate the boys was hampered by continual monsoonal rain. It just wouldn't stop raining. Strong currents of water in the cave and zero visibility. The cave was pitch black and the water was muddy and murky. And some parts of the cave were extremely narrow. Some parts of the cave were only 38 by 72 centimetres, right? So hard to get through. And so 9 days passed since the boys entered the cave. They had no food. They had plenty of water, that was the problem. But they couldn't drink it. It was muddy and murky. But then on the 10th day, at 10 p.m., two rescue divers advanced through the narrow passages and muddy waters, and then this happened. I should have a video.
Thank you. How many of you? 13?
Yeah, 13.
Brilliant.
Not today.
There's two of us. You have to die. We are coming. It's okay.
It's okay.
Many people are coming.
Many, many people.
We are the first. Many people come.
Imagine how the boys and coach would have felt when that torchlight shined into their darkness. How would you have felt? 9 days trapped in the cave, and then this light just shines in their darkness. It turns out that the boy who answered in English, he was the only one who could speak English, he was a compassion sponsor child, and he had been praying for God to rescue them. I know many of you here in our church sponsor Thai Compassion Children. Perhaps he was yours. You may have to double check that. But the boys were lost. They were trapped. They could not rescue themselves, but then the light shone into their darkness and they were found. Now today we're starting a series called The Light Shines in the Darkness. The light shines in the darkness. It's a study in the Gospel of John. And just as the boys were trapped in the cave, groping around in the darkness, unable to trap themselves, so the Gospel of John tells us that mankind is trapped in its sin, groping around in spiritual darkness, unable to save itself. But 2,000 years ago, the light shone in the darkness, and his name was Jesus Christ. The rescuer had arrived. And all those who receive him receive eternal life. But many did not receive him. Why? Well, we're told because they loved the darkness more than they loved the light. Well, we're going to look this evening at only just three and a bit verses. That's all we're going to look at, three and a bit verses. And there are 3 points in the talk today. The first one is this. In the beginning was the Word. The Gospel according to John is a biography of sorts. It's a biography of Jesus. But it doesn't begin in the way a typical biography begins, with the birth of the subject. That's generally the beginning of a person's story. But no, John takes us much further back than the birth of the subject. He takes us further back, as far as you can possibly go. He takes us back to eternity past. And he says that Jesus Christ did not come into existence when he was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, but Jesus Christ has always existed before everything that was made came into existence, because Jesus brought everything that was made into existence. And he says In the beginning was the Word. And this is supposed to remind us of what? The first few verses of the Bible, right? In the beginning, God, but also in the beginning was the Word. Both are true. And this would make the ears of everyone who heard it prick up, because the Word was a term loaded with meaning, both for non-Jews and Jews. You see, in the world of pagan philosophy, the Word, or the Logos is what they would have called it, the Logos was the title given to what the philosophers understood as the invisible creative force behind the universe, the intelligent mind of the universe. The philosophers understood that there couldn't be a creation without there being a cause of it, right? Something responsible for the way things were. And so they had this notion, which was probably a primitive form of what we call today intelligent design, that the notion that there has to be an intelligent designer because we live in an intelligent universe. But the philosophers of the day, to them, this creative force was some kind, this creative power was some kind of impersonal force, some kind of impersonal energy floating around in the universe. And so what the gospel writer John does is that he deliberately borrows this term, Word, which the philosophers were using, and he says, well, the creative force behind the universe, which you know is true, this intelligent mind of the universe, it's not an impersonal force, it's not an impersonal energy that you think it is, but the Word is a person, it is a personal God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And this statement would have fallen like a thunderbolt on the world of the ancient philosophers, and they would have said, what? Now, to the Jew, the Word had even more meaning, didn't it? Because in the Old Testament, when God speaks, he brings us his Word, the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. The Word of the Lord comes to Isaiah. The Word was the revelation of God. It was God's expression to his people. And when God's Word went out, it did powerful stuff, didn't it? God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. God said, I will rescue you from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And what happened? The Red Sea parts. The Word of God was the presence and the power of God breaking into the world. And John is saying to the Jews that this Word of power, this revelation has come in the flesh, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the Jews would have said, what? So what John's doing is he's taking the common ground of non-Jewish philosophy, and he's taking the also Jewish theology, and he makes a declaration that both would agree with, both the non-Jews and the Jews, they both agree that before the creation of the world, the Word existed eternally. He then scandalizes both groups by stating that this Word is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. So he takes all of Greek philosophy and he says it's all about Jesus. He takes all of Hebrew theology. He says it all points to Jesus. And all those who heard it would have said, what? That is the magnitude of what John is saying. Second point, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. When the beginning began, the Word already existed. He existed prior to when the beginning began. He was not part of the creation. He was not part of time and space. And if you're not part of time and space, then you are, by definition, eternal. You exist outside creation, before creation. The Word is pre-existent. The Word was also self-existent. He didn't come from anyone or anything. He has always been. So you and I, we are created. We are becoming. We are changing. But God is not becoming. God is not changing. God is just being. He's always has been. He always will be. And also the Word was coexistent. We read the Word was with God. Now the idea of with God, it means to be in a relationship with God. The Word is with God and the Word is God. Now, how is that possible, to be God and to be with God? Jesus reveals later in the Gospel, as you know, he is God the Son, who has been in the closest of relationships with God the Father for all eternity. The Father and the Son are distinct persons, but they are one God. Now, that is hard for us to get our head around, but why are we surprised that God is not straightforward? God is not made in our image. He's not just a bigger version of us, is he? Surely the one who created the universe is going to be greater than what my little created mind can conceive. And we read verse 3, through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. Words make things. At a wedding, two words of promise, I will, create a marriage. Something exists after the words are spoken that didn't exist before the words were spoken, right? God creates things through words. God the Father spoke a word and creation comes into being. But it was God the Son, the Word, who carried out these creative decrees. God is the creator and the agent of his creation is the Word. All things were made through the Word, Jesus, the Son of the Son, but also everything was made for him. You ever wondered why 3/4 of the world's surface is water? So God made the planet so that we cannot inhabit 3/4 of it. Now, of course, it has a purpose, but he's given us a world where we can't inhabit 3/4 of it. It doesn't really make sense, does it? It doesn't if the world is only made for us, but it's made for him, for his glory and pleasure. We live on a tiny planet in a universe with 1 trillion galaxies. Why so many galaxies? Well, they're made for Jesus, for his glory and pleasure. If you've ever opened the door to the Jehovah's Witnesses, anyone opened the door to the Jehovah's Witnesses? Yeah? Ever had a long chat with them? They will tell you what? Jesus is not God. They'll tell you that pretty much up front. They say that he is God's first created creature. And in fact, they'll tell you that he is actually the Archangel Michael. But Jehovah's Witnesses change their Bibles from the Word was God to the Word was a God. You go to their Bibles, they've changed it, because otherwise their theology doesn't make sense. Mormonism, ever spoken to a Mormon? Mormonism states that Jesus is the created spirit brother of Adam and Satan. Did you know that? And they say that the God of the Bible has been created by another God. Doesn't really need to be said, but the Jehovah's Witness and Mormons' positions are, of course, heretical. Right? God came in the flesh. It's one of the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. There was never a time when Jesus did not exist. On the supermarket shelf of prophets and religious leaders and gurus, Jesus stands above them all, doesn't he? Jesus, he made the supermarket, he owns the supermarket. Jesus is God supreme. And the third point this evening, the Word is the perfect expression of God. The Word became flesh, verse 14. Who can tell me what that meal is? Anyone have a guess? Chili con carne, that's right. What does that mean? Chili con carne, chili with meat. Con carne, meat. Theologians talk about God coming to be flesh, the incarnation. It means God with meat, right? Incarnation, God with meat. The eternal one entered time. The invisible one became visible. The omnipresent one became confined to a human body, became meat. And when you read John's gospel, as we read through it, and as if you read John's letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, you will see that John cannot get over the fact that he has touched God in the flesh. He has heard God in the flesh. He has peered deeply into the eyes of God in the flesh. He can't get over it. He says, I've walked with him. I've talked with him. He loves me. I can't get over it. There was a young woman named Paris, and she was super excited. She'd organized a date online with a guy called Simon. And so she goes to buy herself a new dress. She goes to the salon. She gets her hair done. She gets her makeup done. And with butterflies in her stomach, she walks into the restaurant that they had arranged to meet at. She looks around for Simon, and she can't see him, so she waits. A guy starts waving at her, and she looks over at him and can't recognize him, so she keeps waiting. The guy starts waving more vigorously and walks over to her, and he says, "Hey, Paris." She says, "Do I know you?" He says, "It's me, Simon, your date." She says, "Really?" He looks nothing like his profile photo, right? Looks like he's aged about 20 years. Looks like he's old enough to be her father. And instead of the six-pack on his profile photo, he's now got a keg, right? She says, "Look, you look nothing like your profile photo," and she runs out. Now, with online dating, people think so much rides on their profile photo that most people Photoshop their photo, right? Or they'll put a photo that's much younger than they really are, to the point that they can't even be recognized by their date when they meet them. And people don't stop at their photos. They embellish their profiles, don't they, to make them sound more attractive. Cornell University in the US found that 80% of singles lie on their online dating profiles. Guess the top four lies. Height, guys will add an extra 2 inches to their height. Weight, age, and fourthly, guys will lie about their income. Top four lies. Guys have creative euphemisms for their job titles, right? For their job sound more prestigious. One garbage man called himself a sanitation engineer, which I like. People lie about their interests, right? Guys write, "I'm interested in yoga," which means they bought themselves a yoga mat years ago, but they've never actually used it. Guys write, "I'm interested in massage," which doesn't mean they're learning to do massage, they just quite like having massages. See, you and I, we use words to pretend to be who we're not. We use words to make an impression on people. We use words to cover up. Our words are unreliable. Sometimes they're true, sometimes they're false. So our words are not a perfect expression of us, are they? But in contrast, it's impossible for God to lie. So God's words are a perfect expression of Him. His words are thoroughly reliable. He doesn't express Himself falsely. So what you hear God say is what God is like, and what God is like will be spoken in His word. Jesus, the Word, is the perfect expression of God. What Jesus said and did is what God is like, and what God is like was spoken and done by Jesus. So whatever you do with God's word, Jesus, you do with God. As you deal with Jesus, as you believe Jesus, as you disobey Jesus, so you deal with God, believe God, disobey God. Jesus is the perfect expression of God. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. I'm not so sure. If you sit with a child, I remember reading books to my kids growing up, did it every night for so many years. But when they were younger, you would read books and they didn't have any words in them, right? They just have pictures. But you find when you read a child a book like that, you can't actually turn the pages without opening your mouth, because you start pointing at things and explaining things, explaining the pictures, because images need interpreting. And so it is that God communicates us through his word. He expresses himself best through his word. Our relationships with each other would be barren without the wonderful power of words, wouldn't they? We say things like, he's a closed book. We mean he doesn't want to open up. He doesn't want to open himself up. He doesn't want to get to know you. He doesn't want you to get to know him, right? He's a closed book. But God is not a closed book. God is not a closed book. He speaks and he reveals himself. And unless God spoke, we couldn't know him. And unless the word became flesh, we could not know him intimately. But the word has come to us. And the word is the perfect expression of God. And he wants to know you intimately. And you do that by getting to know Jesus, the word, the perfect expression of God. That is how you know God intimately. We can't see God. We will one day. We can't see God. But until then, we can know him intimately through Jesus, his word. The word has shone his light into our darkness. People say you can't prove there's a God. You heard people say that? You can't prove there's a God. But they ignore the very evidence that demonstrates the reality of God. And that is Jesus Christ. Look at Jesus. He is God. 2,000 years ago, God came to our world and he introduced himself, and his name is Jesus Christ. We live in a world groping around in the darkness, wondering who God is. The answer is, look at Jesus. You'll see everything you need to see. You'll know everything you need to know. He is the perfect expression of God. And if you want to know God, come to the Word. And he will shine his light into your heart and you will know the living God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you don't remain silent. We thank you that you're not a closed book, but you speak to us. And we thank you that you have sent your word to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we can know you intimately. And I pray for each person here tonight, Lord, if they don't know you, that they would come to know you. If you're here this evening and you don't know God and you're wondering, how can I know there's a God? Look to Jesus. You'll know everything you need to know. You'll see everything you need to see. If you see Jesus, you see God. Come to him tonight. Put your trust in him. We thank you, Father, that you reveal yourself to us. We thank you that you're not a closed book. And Lord, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in the Bible that we have before us. And I pray, Lord, that we would put our trust in you. As we look through the Gospel of John in the next few weeks, Lord, I pray that you would become real again to us, real in a way that we haven't seen you before. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We come now to a time of the Lord's Supper. And I just wanted to continue the story just very, very briefly of the cave rescue, because the torchlight shining in that darkness, imagine that, the torchlight comes and the boys see it, but that is just the first step in the rescue, isn't it? They found the boys, but there was still a whole lot of stuff that had to happen to get the boys out. The rescue was required, was complex, and it was costly. Did you know that It cost the life of one of the divers who was trying to get the boys out. A Thai diver died in the rescue. And the coming of Jesus in the flesh, when that light shone into our world, that was just the first step of the rescue. Jesus coming in the flesh was just the first step. It required a costly rescue, and it required that the rescuer die for us to be rescued. It required that. That was the only way we could be saved. That's what it took for the darkness within us to be overcome. And so now we come to the Lord's Supper and we reflect that the Lord Jesus was prepared to do that. He was prepared to give up his life for you and for me. Let's take a moment just to reflect on our great rescuer who was prepared to give up his life for you and for me. Just spend a moment in the quietness of your own heart. Father, we come before you now and we confess our sins to you. We're sorry for those things that we've done this week that have not pleased you. We're sorry, Lord, that we, at times this week we've loved the darkness more than we've loved the light. And we come now and we want our deeds to come out into the light. And we thank you that as we bring our deeds into the light, that we are not punished for them, but we are forgiven for them because Jesus has already been punished. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the assurance that our sins are forgiven. We thank you that in your word it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have our sins been removed from us. We are washed white as snow through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for that. So I invite you to come and take from the bread and the cup. This is for those of us who call on Jesus as our Savior. If that's not you, then please stay seated. No one will think anything less of you. But if you would like to know more, please let us know on your Connect card. Please come and see me afterwards. We'd love to talk to you about it. So I'm going to invite the front few rows to stand. There should be a little map behind me to tell you which way to go. Come and take of the cup and take of the bread. Hold on to them. We'll take them together in just a few moments. A costly rescue mission was required to save us, but Jesus was prepared to do it. Let us eat and be thankful. Our salvation required the life of Jesus, our rescuer. Let us drink and be thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Please stand with me as we reflect with this song. What can I do?
I don't know about you, but I just wanted to keep singing that song, so that was great. I hope I do invite you to come to our overview of John on Tuesday night from Grant Taylor. That will give you a different voice, a different angle. I hope that will be of benefit for you. If some of your small groups are going to be studying John in the next few weeks, there are some notes for every part of John that you can get. You can get it online. It will be on our website. There's also a little book here that will be able to help you with that. And there's some more resources that you'll be able to look at on Tuesday night. If you'd like any prayer, please come down the front. We'd love to pray with you. But let me finish with the benediction. Father, thank you for giving us all we need to know you and to know you intimately. I pray, Lord, that we would go with your light in our hearts and we would shine that light to the dark world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. We'll see you next week.